Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
For the next several weeks, I'm continuing through Romans, but I'm going to be preaching a mini series within Romans on our responsibility for the new year. And so this Sunday, our responsibility for the new year to government. And we're going to talk about Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Now, everybody has been focused on the government for the last little while. We've had an election. We've had all kinds of things going on. And this month, we have the inauguration, the swearing in of the new president. And we have a lot of things going on government-wise. So everybody's focused on this. And so I'm going to show you what the Bible says this morning about our responsibility as Christians to the government. The Word of God says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Now, this is not talking about just any kind of powers, but the higher powers is talking about government authorities. In fact, in this verse, the word power means authority. And in other places in the New Testament, the same word is translated authority. For instance, in Matthew 7:29, speaking of Jesus, the Word of God says, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." So that is the same word that's translated power there in Romans 13:1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power," there is no authority, "but of God. The powers," or the authorities that be, "are ordained of God." Now, a lot of us might sit back and think, well, are the government powers that exist, are they really ordained of God? Is that really true? For instance, when Mr. Obama was elected, there were people that were going around saying, "That's not going to be my president." When Mr. Trump was elected, now people are saying, "Well, that's not my president." There are people saying that. Are the government authorities really ordained of God, or is it just something that man does? Well, in the book of Daniel, there are several verses we could go to, but in the book of Daniel, there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar was in charge of the Babylonian Empire. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, saw a vision, and Daniel interpreted that. And in that vision, there was a statue, there was a giant statue, and it had a head of gold. And then after that, it had other parts of its body that were made of inferior metals. And Daniel interpreted it and said, "Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold." And he said, "After you, there are going to come kingdoms after you that will be inferior to your kingdom." And Nebuchadnezzar listened to that, and he decided that he just wanted his kingdom to last forever, so he built a giant statue of himself that was made all of gold, and he said, "I'm going to be the man." And Nebuchadnezzar got lifted up in pride, and when he was in his pride and he took credit for everything, he said, "Look at all these wonderful," he looked over his kingdom and he looked over his palace and he said, "Look at all these wonderful things that I have built in my power, in my majesty." And God said, "Your time's up." So God made him become like an animal. And Nebuchadnezzar went insane and he lived out in the field and grazed like an animal. And if you want to hear more about that, I have a sermon on sermon audio called "The High Tree" that talks all about that. But he grazed like an animal and lived like an animal. The Bible says, "Till he knew," this is Daniel 5:21, "till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will." So who's in charge of setting up kings and bringing down kings and setting up kingdoms? God. God appoints over it whomsoever he will. Now, you may think, well, why would it be that God would put wicked people in charge? Well, the truth of the matter is, many times in a republic like we have where we can vote, people want wicked people. And that's what they vote for. And so God puts those people in charge, allows those people to be in charge. And oftentimes, just as he did in the Old Testament, because God does not change, the Bible says, I am the Lord, I change not. So just as he did in the Old Testament, God allows wicked kings and wicked rulers to come in charge so that he can judge the nation. He can judge the nation. But he appoints over the kingdom of men whoever he will. Those who have been placed in positions of authority have been placed there by God, and any authority that exists has been established by God. Remember that when Paul wrote this in Romans 13, does anybody know who was in charge at that time of the Roman Empire? Nero. Yes, he was the Caesar. Nero was in charge, and Nero was a wicked, wicked man. But Paul told the folks at Rome and all of us that we should obey the authorities. The powers that be are ordained of God. Ordained means arranged in an orderly manner. And so God wants order. God is not for anarchy, right? God does not support anarchy. All the people in the streets that have protested and want to bring down the police and bring down the government and all this kind of stuff, God's not in that. God does not support anarchy. God says there's an orderly arrangement. The powers, the authorities that be are ordained or arranged in an orderly manner by God. Now, verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So when you resist the authorities, you are resisting God's orderly arrangement. And when you resist, you will receive damnation or judgment. Now, this does not mean, the word damnation here does not mean that you'll receive the damnation of your soul. We understand that the only way people are condemned, for instance, John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So why are people condemned? They are condemned because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's why they're damned or condemned. But this word damnation here means judgment. And the word can even mean a matter to be decided by the court or a lawsuit. And really that's what it's saying. It's saying if you resist the authorities that God has put in place in the government, then you're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up in court. And that's what happens to us, right? If I'm driving down the road in my car and the speed limit says that it is 40 miles an hour and I go 80, I'm going to be pulled over. Probably. And that happened to me one time. I was out on the bypass, and I don't know what the speed is. Is it 50? I don't know what the speed is on the South Bypass. But anyway, I was out on the South Bypass several years ago, and I was going about 80. And just, boom, just right down through there. And the police pulled me over. And I got in trouble for doing that. I was honest with him. I told him why I was going 80. And I think he believed me. It was the truth. I had just washed my car, and I was trying to dry it. I'm not lying to you. That's the real reason. I know, it was a $500 fine. It was terrible. Now, the Bible says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So in other words, the Bible says that rulers are not, they're not against good works. And as a general principle, that's true. Even if you think about people that we consider like kind of crazy rulers, like this guy in the Philippines, Duterte, is that his name? Anybody know? Mark, you're an international traveler. You don't have any clue, do you? All right. Duterte, I believe is his name. You know, he's nuts. He is sending, I've been to the Philippines before, preached in the Philippines, a great, great group of islands there. And I don't want anything bad to happen in the Philippines because they're good people. But they've got this leader and he's getting rid of drug dealers. And the way he's doing it is he's sending out the military to go around and, hunt these people down and shooting them. And he even said that he had thrown somebody out of a helicopter the other day. I mean, he's a brutal type of a guy, type of a loudmouth, brutal guy. But even most of what I think that could get out of hand, and some bad things could happen from that, but even most of what Mr. Duterte is doing, just as an extreme example, is fighting criminals. That's most of what he's doing. And so rulers, even bad rulers, even people like Nero, who was in charge when Paul wrote this, all right? Even people like Nero, who persecuted Christians, most of what the Roman Empire did was go after criminals, people that broke the law. And so rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the saints. Okay, so what happens if we as Christians, if they pass a law that we as Christians can't follow? What if they tell us, for instance, you have to perform gay marriages in your church? Now, they're not going to do that, but what if they did? What if they said you have to perform gay marriages in the church? What would we do? Well, we wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. Even if I went to jail, we're not going to do that. It's against the Bible. It's against the Bible. Now, again, I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm just throwing that out there as an example. And we have an illustration of this in Scripture. We have several illustrations, but I want to go back to the book of Daniel. Now, the Medo-Persian Empire had taken over the kingdom, and Daniel was living under the Medo-Persian Empire. And there was a king who loved Daniel, and the king's advisors were jealous of Daniel. So they tricked the king into passing a law that said that you couldn't pray to any other god for a certain number of days because they knew that Daniel prayed every day. And here's what the Bible said that Daniel did when this law was passed that would forbidden him to pray to God. Now, when Daniel knew, this is Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, when he knew that the law had been passed, he knew it. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, when Daniel knew that the law was passed, he just did the same thing he'd been doing. Because to obey that law would have been to sin against God. Now here's the thing. If we practice that kind of disobedience to the law because the law is passed against the Bible and against God, then we have to be willing to do what Daniel did, which was to accept the consequences. When he was thrown into the den of lions, he didn't protest. He said, no, this is the penalty. I know what the penalty is. I accept the consequences. And so if it's against the law to do something and it's a violation of the Bible and we follow Scripture and we obey Scripture rather than man, because the Bible says it's better to obey God than man, then we must be willing to accept the consequences. And so that's the biblical pattern and the rule that we see. But generally, we are supposed to obey the law. Christians should be the best citizens that there are. We should obey authority. Now, verse 4, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. See, authorities are ministers. Governors are ministers. They're a different kind of ministers. I am a minister of spiritual things. They are ministers of temporal things. And so but they're also ministers of God. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So the government bears the sword and has the right to use the sword. They have the right to use force. The government has the right to wage war. They have the right to carry out judgment. That's one of the ways that the government carries out a judgment. Because a lot of things happen to people, like somebody's relative gets killed. And they want to take revenge, but they don't take revenge. Instead, they let the legal system handle it. Well, the legal system has an obligation then to carry out the judgment of God, because that's what God has put in place. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. The government authorities are put in charge by God to take revenge and to execute wrath on those who do evil. And a lot of times the only way a family feels that they've gotten justice when something has happened is when a person that did the crime is put in jail or they're even executed. And I preached in jail for years. I work in a jail. But the truth of the matter is that there's a need for jail. There's a need for penalties that are put forth. And they're ministers of God. Romans 13:5. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath but also for conscience sake. As a Christian, you need to be subject to authority not just because of penalties but because of your conscience. We should have a conscience that wants to obey God, right? That's what the Bible teaches, and we should. If you're saved, you should have that conscience. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. For this cause pay your taxes. That's what that means. Pay ye tribute. Pay your taxes. Now, nobody wants to hear that. I hate paying taxes, and I believe that you should use every legal means to pay as little as you possibly can. I believe you should get your refunds. You should do everything you can legally to pay as little as you can. But for the cause of your conscience, from verse 5, for the cause of your conscience, pay your taxes also. For they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. So even tax collectors are God's ministers of temporal things. And they really do attend continually upon it. Because if you don't pay your taxes, they will come after you. They want you to pay your taxes. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. That means taxes. Pay taxes to whom taxes are due. Custom to whom custom is due. Customs, fees. Now the government has all kinds of fees. And we're supposed to pay those fees. You go to get a driver's license, there's a fee. All kinds of things. Get married, there's a fee. Everything has fees. If you ever travel outside of the country, other countries will charge you all kinds of fees. I've experienced that. Mark has certainly experienced that. They will charge you all kinds of fees. And when you come back in the United States, they want to charge you fees if you have certain things. I remember one time April and I had been to China and we were coming back into the United States, and in China you can get pearls dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. And so she had bought pearls, and our plan was that we were going to sell some of them to pay for the pearls that we bought. So I, stupid me, I have a conscience that's overly, I tell people more than I should. And so we are we are at the going through the line where they check your baggage and everything, and I've got these pearls, and it was like 10 pearl things, whatever they were, necklaces, bracelets, a few hundred dollars worth. And so I'm going through the line, and I said, honey, we need to declare these. And she said, we do not need to declare these. And I said, no, we do. We need to be honest. We're going to sell these. She said, they're gifts. I said, we're going to sell some of them, so we should declare them. And so I went through the line, filled out the form, and got up there, and the guy's about to open my bag, and he's like, so what kind of business are you in? I said, I'm not really in business. I'm a missionary. And he said, well, what are you here for? And I said, well, we got some pearls while we were in China. And he said, okay. And I said, and we're going to sell some of them. Sell some of them to who? And I said, well, friends, family, you know, just we're going to sell a few of the pearls. And he said, how many pearls do you have? And I said, like 10 necklaces. And he said, you don't need to be in this line. Get out of the line. So I had waited in the line, complete waste of my time. But nonetheless, we ought to pay custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear. We ought to reverence people that are supposed to be reverenced. And that's why these people that want to cuss the police and I understand police can do some bad things, but the fact is that this general rebellion of authority that's going on, rebellion against authority, is wrong. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So, in summary, our responsibility to the government in the new year. Number one, we need to pray for our leaders. That wasn't in our text, but it's in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. And we'll actually, when we have our prayer revival here, when we do the prayer revival, we're going to have one night where we just pray for the government leaders. That'll be one whole night of the prayer revival. Respect authority. Respect authority during the new year. Obey the law. It'll help you out. You won't get fined. You won't get arrested. And if you get arrested and put in jail, I'll still preach to you. But I'd rather not see you get arrested. Obey the law. Pay your taxes. That's coming up. Pay your taxes.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Bible Expositors Podcast. Today we've just been talking about some practical things about our relationship as Christians to the government and what we should do towards the government. And whether it is that you need to just respect authority or pay your taxes, these may not sound like profound things, but they're practical things. God wants us to honor and respect our government and our laws. And as Christians, we have an obligation to be exemplary citizens and to go above and beyond. So just right now as we close today, just a real simple message, but as we close today, I'd like us to pray. And we just want to pray that we can be the citizens that we ought to be during this new year. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the privilege of being citizens and that you have saved us. And I do pray that during this new year, that as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, that we will just be exemplary citizens, that you will help us to obey the laws, that you will help us to respect the police and respect the government, that you will help us to obey rules, that you will help us to pay our taxes, that you will just help us to do what we ought to do, to be honest, to be good citizens, to do everything we ought to do towards the government. And we ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we could do this. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for those listening that may not be saved, that don't know you as Savior, Lord Jesus, that today they would just turn to you in faith and trust you as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior. We ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.